Morning, everybody. Morning, everybody online who's watching as well. Good to have you all here. Is your first time? We are very, very warm welcome. Do stick around at the end. We'd love to have coffee. Why don't you take a seat? That would be amazing. I understand, Phil, that your football skills aren't quite as good as first said. Your wife whispered in my ear, that wasn't his first take. Was it, actually? It's the football's fault, was it? Blame Mark Kelly because he's not here. I'm not sure that's very fair, is it really? But we are looking forward to the Hope for Justice Day on the 20th of May. And as Phil said, so many amazing things going on. We are taking a banter castle down and having family staff and all sorts of things, as well as not 24-hour football. Sunrise to sunset football and people bike around and all sorts of things. It's going to be a great, great day. And good job for making it to church. I almost missed making it this morning. I know. I got told a zillion times yesterday, as I'm sure lots of you did, but I didn't change my alarm clock. You see, I'm a bit old-fashioned having an alarm clock because I put my phone downstairs so I don't keep messing with it. Otherwise, anybody else like me, you just mess with your phone if it's there. So I put it downstairs. And so I got up, good time. You know, just after 7, organized, sorted, went down, put the fire in because we have fires. And I thought, oh, I've got lots of time this morning. I'll spend 5 minutes peeling some veg with my wife, feeling all righteous. Went upstairs, start my quiet time, read my Bible, and settled down to prayer. Lots of time, still over an hour left. Well, almost an hour left, going well. And then my daughter shouts up, she said, Daddy's still here. I'm thinking, what a strange question. It's just after 8. Of course I'm still here. And I said, why, is it 9:10 already? And she went, yes. The clocks have gone forward an hour. I went, oh, yes, so they have. So I wasn't really late, but I would have been late if my daughter hadn't been there with me. So well done. Anybody else sleep in? Oh, there's definitely one over there. She confessed to me already. Nobody else? Wow, they're good, aren't they? Just the two of us. The two cricket lovers. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. Anyway, welcome. It's good to have you here. For sure. This morning, I want to have a look at the subject of the Holy Spirit, particularly who he is. For those of you who can remember back to Vision Sunday, we talked about this year and think about letting the Spirit fall on us as individuals, on us as a church, particularly thinking through how we love God more, understand his almightiness and the fear around God as well. It's good to know that God loves us. But we should also recognize he's a fearful God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And actually, both of those things help us grow in our faith and develop who we are. Let the Spirit fall in the sense of developing our love for righteousness, our love for living as God would want us to live and walking in the blessed life that he'd want us to have. In the sense of having a passion for his cause, that God would reveal more of his love for people, the lost, who are far from him. And maybe in this 12 months, it would break our hearts a little bit more for those who aren't yet in the kingdom. It's so easy, isn't it? You're in the kingdom and you kind of forget that heaven is real. And on the side, hell is real. And just go, you know, these people do need to hear about the gospel. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he didn't die for fun. He died because we needed dying for and saving. And so does the rest of the world that doesn't yet know the greatest news of all. God is there and God does love them and there is an eternity that they can walk into. And also in a particular prayer of mine for us as a church, that for each one of us, that we would so ground our faith that when the tough times come, because the tough times do come in our lives, that we would learn to stand on Jesus and to be solid and certain, and we keep doing the right thing even when our hearts are grieving, when there's pain in our bodies and those kind of things are going on, that we'd learn to stand. Not talking about going forward, but we'd learn to stand on what Jesus means to us and what he's given us. And those four prayers, what I'm praying for this year for all of us, our prayer meeting that we're holding on Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. here, and there's one up in Lancaster, we'll be praying for these things, amongst other things, for half an hour or so. Is that right? I think for half an hour or so, if you want to come. And I think the Spirit's already rising. I sense it in the worship services. It's that all of us would open our hearts and our lives to God moving more. It is, I'm just like you, right? It's so easy to, as it were, box little bits off that are non-accessible to God, because why? We have a certain decision or certain thing we want to do. We really don't want God interfering in that area because, well, it's my area, right? And I want to control it. But actually, as God would reveal to us, that we would give all of ourselves to him. I am absolutely convinced as we do that, and the Spirit comes in, it cleans it, restores it, and then God can bless that area in our life as long as everything else. It's when you've been a Christian for a long time, experienced a little bit more, you realize that every area under God's authority is an area that he can then work in and bless and do amazing things in and through. And as a pastor, I just want to encourage you, any area you give over to God, anything you give to him, it will be the best thing you could possibly do in that area. So this morning we're going to look at who is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? I'll pray and then I will begin. Father, I thank you that your Spirit is here. For those people watching online, Father, you are with them in their living rooms, wherever they're watching, Father. And those online, listen to it later. Father, you are with them there. And Father, I pray, help us to open our hearts and our minds to you. Father, help us to listen keenly for your voice, your still small voice, Lord God. To be open so that we can sense your love and your peace and your joy, if that's what we need. And Father, also your voice of rebuke, as well as your voice of encouragement in our lives, that we may walk into all that you have for us, enjoy all of your presence, enjoy all of your riches, Father. And if there's any here listening to this message, God, who don't know you, Father, we pray that you would speak to them, reveal who they are before you, and your great love for them, in Jesus' name. Amen. So who is the person, the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, he is a person. He's a person. He's part of the Godhead. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 to 22 say this. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It was his Spirit. He's a person. He's not an it. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit. He says this: if you love me and keep my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a spirit. It's not a force to be controlled or kind of, it's not like Star Wars. It's not a force that does things for you. He's a person. He's a person. He's part of the Godhead. There's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're all one, yet three, and they're all people. They're all individuals, unique and combined, both at the same time. I'm not going to go into how that works because, well, I don't really know. And there's lots of kind of stories and things. But he is part of the Godhead, but he's also a unique individual. That Jesus said, I need to go so I can send him to be with everybody. You see, Jesus was one man in one place in time, physical person. The Holy Spirit, because he's a spirit, can be with each one of us, in us and around us, supporting and teaching us and instructing us all at the same time. But he is a person. And because he's a person, it means that we have a relationship to build with him, right? You know, I've been married 33 years in August. I am still building a relationship with my wife, right? I'm still able to mess it up or make it better. Is that true, isn't it? All the guys and all the husbands in the house, right? Yep. And depending on how the day's going, depending on how much we built it up or messed it up. And the Holy Spirit's the same. It's a relationship that we need to develop with him. And if you don't develop a relationship with him, then obviously it's going to be hard to hear his voice. It's going to be hard to hear his instruction when you need it, his guidance, his revealing of scripture to you. It's going to be difficult. And therefore, I want to encourage you, because he's a person, to make sure you're putting aside a time aside to develop that relationship. So I hope you often read your Bible and often pray. But I hope, too, that you learn, if you haven't already, to often be with God, be with the Holy Spirit. For the oldies in the house, you've heard this story before, but when I was at university, I was in my final year, a house of five boys. Oh, we had so much fun. It was an old, cheap house, and we used to play tricks on each other and all that kind of. We had good times as students. Anyway, it was my final year, and one guy in the house was called Phil. He was trained to be a doctor. And at the end of his lectures or whatever he was doing, he used to come back home, back to our house, and he'd go up to his room, and for at least 20 minutes, he'd be quiet in his room. Well, after a while, I was like, I wonder what Phil is doing. Because he was so regular, it was noticeable. And so I called him one night and said, Phil, what are you doing? He said, I'm just hanging out with God. And I went, cool, because I was a Christian, right? So I was supposed to know what that meant, right? Does that ever happen to you? When somebody says something and you go, I really should know what that means. I have no idea, so I'll just nod and go, yeah, absolutely. That's what I did. But it bothered me. I was used to reading, and I read pretty much, even in those days, every day. And I prayed, and then prayed, and then done, right? But he was saying, I'm just being with God. I went, oh, cool. And then after a few days, I went, no, Phil, I have absolutely no idea what you mean. What do you mean you're with God? He says, I just settle myself, and then me and God hang out. I go through my day, maybe, I listen to his voice, just enjoy his presence. I went, so how do you do that? He said, I just sit and be and put some time aside every day and say, God, I'm here. And then we just, I went, okay. That, it was such a foreign concept to me at that time, because I'm a doer, right? Sitting and doing nothing was like weird, right? But over the years, I've learned to stop and just be and allow to have a relationship with God where I can hear him and feel his presence. Now, for some of you in the room, you're going like, yeah, got that, done it, no problem, fine, carry on. But I suspect if this is a normal congregation, some of you are going like, I've never really done that. Or I really struggle to stop long enough for my thoughts not to be on work or this problem or that problem or something else. And I want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit is a person. He longs to get to know you. I want to say over the years, as I've heard his voice and he's guided me, it's been wonderful. But it takes a bit of time. Like any relationship, it's not going to happen instantly. And I've been doing it now for, 30 years on and off. And it's a wonderful thing to do in the worst of days, to just settle your heart and your mind. Sit somewhere that's comfortable, or lie down, or whatever you want to do, and just be with God. And I want to encourage you, if you've never done it, just to start and say, yeah, God, I want to understand what it is to be with you. Not to be reading your Bible or praying or listening to music necessarily, but just to be with you. That we can do life, you can talk to me about anything, and we can just hang out together. And as you do that, listen to his voice. Make sure it's scriptural as well. It might just be cheese, remember? Cheese or something funny. But make sure it's scriptural, it's in line with his general will. And just listen, follow his will, follow his wisdom. And as you're doing, worship him. He is God. He is God as well. Even though he comes and he's with us and he's our friend, he's also God, so worship him. The Holy Spirit, he is a person. We need to build a relationship. Secondly, and the Holy Spirit is neither for us or against us. Rather, he is of and for God. John chapter 16, Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit. Says this. John chapter 16, verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Remember, it's truth, not our truth, the Spirit's truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come.
He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So the Spirit is not something that, you know, we pray and he's going to do our will because we want him to, which is a shame, right? Shame. You know, dear God, I'd love a Lamborghini. If any of you ever get rich enough and feel really generous, I'd love a red Lamborghini. They are the coolest cars. In fact, they've just brought a new one out. I can't remember its name, but it's gorgeous. It's amazing. Very expensive. But wouldn't it be great if you come to God and ask for anything, he'd go, yeah, it's yours. But actually, the Spirit, if you read all the Scripture, he is, in one sense, for us, don't get me wrong, but actually, his primary motive is he is God and he is for God. And that's why he's on the earth. If you remember when the Israelites came out of Egypt and they got towards the promised land, Moses died, and then his understudy, Joshua, took over. And Joshua took the whole of the nation, to maybe 3 million people, over the River Jordan into the promised land. And now they had to conquer it. And the Canaanites, for those who know your Bibles, were in big cities with big walls, and they're big and strong, used to fighting, great fighting men. And the first spies had gone out 40 years earlier, said we'd never do it, but Joshua went in with great faith that God could do something despite their lack of practice, and despite all the fortifications that they had there. And as he was coming towards Jericho, the first target, God had already told him to be strong and courageous, but if it's like anybody else, we're going like, I hope this goes well, right? If it had been me, I'd be like, God, I hope this goes well. It'd be great if you could send a sign or an army of angels would be even better or something to come and help us, right? That's what I'd be praying. And we're reading Joshua 5, verse 13, these words. It says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he was having a look at the high walls, then he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And the idea of this is, this person was ready for action. It wasn't in his sheath, safe, it was out. He's ready for action, he's ready to go. So Joshua asked him, Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us? Are you on my side? Or are you on their side? Good question, right? Good question. Are you for me or for them? I'd really like to know. If you're for them, I might kill you now, right? If you're for us, welcome. Please join us with your sword, right? And neither, this person replied, neither, he says, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And then the message said, take off his sandals, his place is holy. But you see, the angel had come to support Joshua, right? But he wasn't, in one sense, on Joshua's side. He was on God's side. And because Joshua was also on God's side, that meant the armies of heaven were for him and fighting for him. And we need to remember this so much when we're praying, guys. When we pray, when we ask God's Spirit to come and do stuff, it's our job to align where we are up with where God is the best we can. God's a forgiving and merciful and gracious God, so it's about heart, right? To align ourselves and then pray. And when we do, God will send his forces and his riches and everything we need to fulfill what he has us to do. And in that moment, Joshua realized he was doing God's work. But as long as he's doing God's work, all of the armies of heaven were on his side fighting for him. And I'm sure if, just a little bit later, when God said you need to march around Jericho for 7 days, once, and then on the last day, 7 times, and then shout a lot, the rest of the army probably thought he was nuts, because what good's that going to do? But he'd have in his back of his mind, yeah, but the armies of the Lord are here. You can't see them. They're invisible in the spiritual realm. But on that last day, when we shout, what's going to happen is the armies of the Lord are going to go first, and they're going to break the walls down. They're going to go ahead of us, and then we're just going to follow on from what God's doing. And that's the way it works. That's the way it works, right? When we align ourselves with what God wants, and then we pray, God goes first. His army, spirits go first, conquers the ground. And we just come. All that Joshua did at the end was when the walls fell down, his army went in and just mopped up. Because God had already done the heavy lifting. He'd already flattened the walls, made a way in.
all Joshua needed to do was go and finish the job off. And that's all. And that's what happened. But it's because Joshua got this thing. Yes, in one sense, God is for us, but he's not really for us. He's for God, and he is of God. Number three, about the person of the Spirit. I've got 2 points and three. So it's 3A, if you're taking notes. I know I could have had 5 points, but anyway. 3A, the Holy Spirit, he makes salvation effective. He makes salvation effective. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 11 says that the Spirit is the sanctifier of our souls. It's the work of the Spirit to make us holy and pure. So Jesus dies on the cross as part of the Godhead, and then it's the Spirit makes that work effective. So the blood that was shed, the death that was given on our behalf, that is made effective by the work of the Spirit in our lives. It's a Spirit that means that we can, because we're purified, it means that we can walk into the presence of God. So we can experience the throne room. It says in Hebrews about we can walk into the presence of God. Why? Because the Spirit has made us holy and pure. And if you're a Christian, I know in one sense you're still sinful. We're still messing up and doing things we shouldn't do. But in another sense, it's true but not yet true. We're also holy and perfect in God's sight because God's already completed the work. It is a true statement that we're still figuring out our salvation and our salvation is complete are both true at the same time. And I know it doesn't make logical sense, but in the light of God, that's the way it works. We are still working it out, but it is complete as well. And it's the Spirit that makes that happen. And B, it's the Spirit that is the assurer of our souls. The assurer of our souls. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul writes these words. He said, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." And the reason sonship's used there is the sons were adopted and then they became inheritors. And it's for all of us, men and women, we're all sons in God's. We're all the same. We're all going to inherit everything. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. But there's this idea that the Spirit rests in us and so that we cry out, Abba, or Daddy, Father. There's an intimacy, a sense of I am God's now. There's an assurance in our souls. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, because you are sons of God, God has sent his Spirit of sonship into our hearts so that we may cry, Abba, Father. 1 John 5, verse 13 says that the Spirit comes so that we may know that we have eternal life. Now, I've been a pastor long enough and talked to enough people to know, again, this is a normal congregation, that some of you will be sat there going, you know, I'm not absolutely sure I'm saved. In my teenage years, when I was 13, I made a decision that heaven was better than hell, because it is, and put my hand up. But for most of my teenage years, I didn't feel very sure about my faith. I wanted to be a Christian. I was trying to be a Christian, and I was reading my Bible, doing all the right things. Then when I was 19, it was Good Friday, and I can't remember who was preaching, but at the end, there was a call to give everything to God, or whatever that meant. And I really felt, and I don't normally come forward. I know it sounds weird. I'm a kind of a quiet guy, really, but it sounds weird when I'm preaching. And I went to the front, and I knelt at the front, and my pastor, Mr. Walden, for those of you who know him, and he prayed for us. He prayed all sorts of crazy things over us, most of which have happened, actually. But anyway, and he prayed for us, and I got up and left, and nothing changed at all. Honestly, it really didn't. There was no experience. I know when some people come forward to do things, God does something, and there's crying and weeping and falling over, and that's all God. Because you've got to know God deals with us just in the right way for us. And for me, I didn't Well, God didn't think I needed that stuff, right? And I come to realize that I don't, and that's fine. But a couple of weeks later, because I'm not just a shepherd of people. In one sense, I'm a shepherd of sheep. So I was looking after the sheep. I was a farmer. I was down the field looking at some sheep, and whistling away was my habit to do. And I suddenly realized that I knew God was with me and heaven was my home. And the assurance had entered my soul. And something had happened 2 weeks ago or so when I'd knelt down. The Spirit had changed something in me, so I knew that I was His. And I knew, now, don't hear this wrong, I'm not looking forward to the process of death, right? But I don't mind death. If I die tomorrow, I'm chilled. I really am. I don't mind. I know where I'm going. I know the Savior's mine. And I know He'll take me across and I'll be there. But I also know for some of you, that's not true. You don't feel like that. And I just want to encourage you. Well, I want to encourage you to make sure that all that you have is God's. Everything is submitted to His will. It is. Some Christians, or some people want Christ as long as they can keep some things. Well, as one famous theologian said, either Christ is Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Right? And so I'd always encourage, if you're not sure, just check. It might be the case you've got nothing back. Okay, I'm not saying this case, but it's definitely worth asking the question. God, is there any area of my life that is still mine and not yours? Is there something I need to give to you? Or like I did, just kneel somewhere. It can be on your own or with friends or even at church. And you can always kneel down here, the last song, and just say whatever you want. And so say, God, it's all yours. It's all yours. You may or may not have a spiritual experience. Definitely not promising that. But if you mean it and you seek it, I believe God over time or instantly will reveal to you that you are His child. You do not need to worry. It is just one step from here into eternity. I believe it's a gift for every Christian. Every Christian, because the Spirit rests in all of us. You can't be saved without the Spirit being living in us, right? So it's a gift for all of us. And if you ever want me to pray for that, I'd love to. And if you're struggling, then talk to a pastor or a Connect group leader, discipleship group leaders, they're going to come soon. Or even just some good Christian friends and say, I desire that. You might find that they say, well, so do I. And then you can pray together. Maybe get some other people to pray with you. And I believe if we seek it, God will reveal that to you. And it will, because let's face it, the other disciples, all of them must have utterly believed it. Why? Because if they had persecution and death, they got crucified, they were convinced that Jesus was God and heaven was their home. And that is a gift for us as well. Fourthly, and finally, the Spirit's purpose, His purpose is to help us fulfill the mission that God gives us. His purpose is to help us fulfill the mission that God has given us. Acts 28, verse 19, Jesus says, go and make disciples in my name, baptize them and teach them everything. Acts 1, 8, He instructs His disciples to be witnesses of Him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And some of them did that and traveled very many miles away, thousands of miles away, to let people know about Jesus. That was what He's called us to do. That's our mission, to make Him known. And John 16, verse 5, Jesus says that the Spirit's going to help us with this. It says this, but now I'm going to Him who sent me. None of you ask, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. So the biggest sin that people have is because they don't believe in Jesus. They don't worship Him. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where everything is right and perfect, where you can see me no more. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And they have much more to say. But the Spirit is the one that actually helps people understand the message we're talking about. I long realized that my words aren't really going to make much difference in anybody's life, which is quite annoying when you're a preacher. But my prayer is that as I speak, God will speak into your heart, that God will speak into your soul, that God will make a difference. And that's the same wherever we are. You know, people say, you know, Pastor Head, I'd love to, you know, tell people about my story of Jesus
or the gospel story, but I just don't know enough, or I think I might stumble over my words and just look like an idiot, or I just feel too fearful or too nervous.
Yeah, well, join the club. Most people feel like that. That's why the Spirit comes.
Do you know, I've heard too many stories of young people when I was a youth worker of just presenting the gospel in some horrible ways and people still saying yes to Jesus. And it was a genuine yes to know it doesn't matter because we don't do it. All we are is, as it were, a conduit of the Spirit that lives in us to flow through us into other people. It's Him that convicts them of the truth. It's Him that shows them that they need Jesus. It's Him that reveals that there is eternity and they need to do something about it. It's He does that, not us. If it was down to us alone, the world would be in big trouble, right? Yeah? It really would. It's not down to us. It's down to us just being open and then God does it. And it doesn't matter if you present the gospel in the most awful, mixed up, jungled way. It doesn't matter if your story of how you met Jesus or something that Jesus has done for you. Just when you reflect on it, goes like, that was terrible. It doesn't matter. God sees your heart and the Spirit will use it for His glory. Why? Because you've been on mission. You're doing what He wants you to do, which is to share. However you share, just share the good news about Jesus. You've been His witnesses in that moment. And He helps us. Acts 4, verses 29 to 31, which I won't read out, but it's a story I used on Vision Sunday when Peter and John, they pray for boldness that they may speak the gospel. They may be bold. And in that those few verses, God answers and the building shakes. Why? God says, if you're praying for boldness to preach the gospel, I'm in. And I want to show you and the disciples in the room and for all eternity, which is why it's written down in the Bible, that when you pray those kind of prayers, I am in and I will give you all that you need so that you can be bold and do everything that you want me to do. And because God, as we align ourselves like that, God is for us. So when we're in His mission, His purpose, His Spirit will flow through us and convict other people. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's for God. He's here to help us with Jesus' mission. And I want to encourage you to do a few things. The first one is to keep asking God to fill you. It says in Ephesians, don't be drunk with the Holy Spirit, at least the debauchery and bad stuff, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be, as it were, under the influence of the Spirit of God. Every morning, before you ever do, is whisper it in a sentence, is God be with me today. God, may your Spirit rule and rest on my heart today. And just let that be your mantra for the day. I'm doing this day with God. Or I'm doing this day for God. Both and, I guess. But ask God. James 4 verse 2 says that Christians don't have because they don't ask. He also says, the next verse, he says, Christians don't have because they ask amiss. They ask wrong. Like my Lamborghini. I don't really have much hope I'll ever get my Lamborghini. And even if I had the money, I don't think I could justify buying a Lamborghini. It'd be cool, right? I'd have to have a real lot of money, but yeah, the new Lamborghinis just short £500,000. They're really nice, but really? On a car? Yeah. Don't ask amiss. Say, God, I want to ask what you want me to ask, that I may do what pleases you. And I honestly believe as we do that, He'll give us the desires of our heart. And then, as it says in John 14, 21, those who love God are obedient to Him. And let's make sure that we are obedient to Him so that His Spirit can dwell in us. And finally, God is not a God of perfection. He is, but He doesn't yet insist that we're perfect. That's not the way it works. God is looking for a willing heart that loves Him, that is willing to follow Him. He will help you do the rest. Which means every single one of you in this room, wherever you are in your faith, if you would just say, God, fill me. I want to try my best to live for you. God's like, I'm in. That's all I need to hear. I'm in. I'll help you. I'll guide you. I'll use you to reach other people. I'll start blessing different areas of your life. And because that's what God wants to do as we go on mission with Him. The Holy Spirit is a person. He loves you. and longs to be with you. Let's be just pray, and I'll hand back to Aaron, and she'll finish the service off for us. Father, we thank you that you, in one sense, as you sent your son, that your son had to return so that your spirit could come and be with all of us. He was one person in one area at one time, but your spirit can be all places, all of the time. Father, I pray for my wonderful brothers and sisters here in Christ. This family, as Erin said, she loves being part of the family. And we thank you we have each other. But God, I pray for each one of us that we each day may just whisper that heart cry. God, I want to be with you and for you this day. Just help me to be influenced by you all day. And Father, I believe as we do that, we'd see miracles. We'd see conversations, however well or badly they've gone, seeing people run for Jesus. Because you are long that none will be lost, that all will be saved. And God, I pray as you do that you would just bless us, not necessarily financially, but in ways that bless our heart, ways that we long for. So Father, come in Jesus' name and fill us anew in Jesus' name.